Starting defense, place at the table.
Breaking down 6A, 5A, 4A, and all the A's we can get to, with reporters spread out across tonight's top matchups in Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show, part of the Power Rents Game of the Week. With Andrew Nemec, here's your host for the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show, Jason Swigart, on 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.
Back here at Beaverton High School, wrapping up the final night of the regular season in Oregon and Southwest Washington. A couple of top 10 matchups at the 6A level. We got play-in games at both the 4A and 5A level. All the scores coming up at 10 o'clock at the top of the hour. But as always, we want to get right out to our field reporters. It is all wrapped up, a 1-versus-2 showdown at Tigard High School between the Tigers and the Tualatin Timberwolves to determine a Three Rivers League champion. It was nip and tuck all the way throughout, and Will Darkins now joins us with a wrap-up. Will.
Hey, Swag. So this one ended with a 23-21 win by the Tigard Tigers. Now, this game in the very beginning kind of started off a little bit irregular in the first quarter, just because these two teams are known for their really strong running games, great defense, and ability to attack on the perimeter. And for the most part, that kind of accounts to some pretty low scoring. Well, at the end of the first quarter, this thing was Tualatin up 14-7. So both of these teams came out swinging pretty hard. A lot of play action in the beginning, a lot of attacking on the perimeters, like I was saying before. But then that whole notion pretty much just evaporated once you got to the second half. The third quarter, there was just one scorer in the first about 8 minutes. It was Jackson Cleaver for Tigard kicking a 25-yard field goal. Tigard was up at that point 16-14, and it kind of went a little bit back and forth for a little while, but then Tigard started to settle down and put together a very solid drive. This capped off with a fourth down conversion, turned into a touchdown. It was Drew Carter to Tyler Penn, 32 yards. Tigard scores. They were up 23-14 at that point. And then for some reason, Tualatin had some very bad clock management in the fourth quarter. They were just kind of chewing on it, running Kanoa Sayre a lot. I mean, it eventually did pay off. Kanoa Sayre ran in for a one-yard touchdown. But at that point, you know, they were forced to kick a field goal with about 140 left. Kick an onside kick with about 140 left in the game. And then Tigard pretty much just ran out the clock. So your new Three Rivers League champion is the Tigard Tigers. They win 23-21 against Tualatin. And they'll be sure to take this momentum into the playoffs. And they'll be sure to go far. Reporting live from Tigard High School, I'm Will Darkins for the Les Schwab Tires postgame show on 1080 The Fan.
All right, thank you very much, Will. So the Tigers do get the number one overall seed. I would imagine they're the only undefeated team. The strength of schedule can't be questioned. They go 9-0. It'll be interesting now to see where Tualatin goes. I can't imagine them, you know, as we mentioned, they were seventh inexplicably in the USA rankings. Everything should boost them up despite the loss. And so let's go out, and we've got Rashad now. I know there was a little bit of time left in the fourth quarter, but I think this one is well in hand. Grant had a nice lead at halftime, and so Rashad was Lincoln mounting much of a threat in the fourth quarter. They needed a win to get themselves an automatic berth out of the PIL.
No, Lincoln tried their best to hang in, but Grant played like this was the first round of the playoffs for them. I think they knew that they needed to win this game to get that first round berth, and that's exactly what they did. And it was really all about Logan going. Just before I spoke to you, just before we hung up the phone the last time, guys, Lincoln scored quickly, and then Grant came right back, Jay Sean Pete, and scored, and the things were kind of going from there. As we come back from halftime, Logan going escapes the pocket in just a beautiful way, then throws the ball across his body, and he threw the ball to Luke Borchard, who broke three tackles en route to a 28-yard touchdown. The score at that point, 33-6 Generals. Then Jayshon Pete scores with 5:20 left in the third quarter. That was Pete's second touchdown. That made the score 39-6. There was a couple solid drives from Lincoln, but not a whole lot to you know, write home about. But there was one drive where Lincoln actually scored, and this time it was Joe Burns from on a 4-yard score for the Cardinals. That made the score 39-13 with 9:13 left in the fourth quarter. And then Jayshon Pete comes up big on defense and recovers a fumble. That gives the ball back to the Generals, and then Logan going one more time, scoring with his legs, and that makes the score 45-13. The Generals is running away with it. They even decided to go ahead. Both teams put in all their backups and all their JV guys, and even their JV guys scored. Brennick Beck from Grant, I believe he's the coach's son, he comes in and he scores. Scores 51-13. There is a minute and some change left in this game, but we all know that the Generals win this game, and it has to feel good for Coach Beck to come in the second year. After he struggled a little bit in his first year, to come in the second year, win the PIL championship, but also win it against the Lincoln Cardinals downtown Portland at Lincoln's home field. So that has to feel good for Grant and for all their student body tonight. Checking in from Lincoln High School, Rashad Taylor for the West Schwab Tires post-game scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Thank you very much, Rashad and Will, not just for tonight, but all throughout the regular season, every Friday night there, bringing you the other games from around the Southwest or metropolitan area. Let's take a break. When we come back, Luke Anderson going to join us with the Clark County Report. They're all wrapped up out at Doc Harris Stadium between Camas and Union, so we'll find out how that one turned out, as well as the other scores on the night in Southwest Washington as they try and lock up home field games for the district crossover round next Friday night. We continue on. It's Les Schwab Tires post-game scoreboard show here on 1080 The Fan. Back here at Beaverton High School, where they're turning out the lights on the regular season here as the Beavers fall to Jesuit 42-24, costing them opportunity to win an outright Metro League title for the first time since 2003. We'll have all the finals coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, but we do want to welcome in Luke Anderson, who was on the call over on 910 ESPN Portland tonight in our Southwest Washington game of the week from Doc Harris Stadium. Camas and Union, both teams rather banged up coming into this one, but the Papermakers controlled their own destiny for a 4A title at the Greater St. Helens League. And Luke, a lot of storylines, some uncertainty going into this. How did it end up being played out on the field?
Yeah, both teams playing with their backup quarterbacks, Alex Blake Asuto for Camas and Alex Gurman for Union. So it was, a little bit of uncertainty. Alex Gurman has kind of played off and on. C.J. Jordan has been pulled from some games and injured kind of throughout the season for Union. But Jake Blair going down in the third quarter last week against Skyview, broken collarbone. He's out for the season for Camas. But Blake Asciutto came in and played well. Camas didn't ask a lot of him. They ran four different backs as featured backs in this game and really leaned on the run game for the most part. But Asciutto looked poised when he needed to throw. He made the right decision in most scenarios. But it was a really good game towards the end. Union started to make a comeback, but Camas jumped out to a 21-0 lead, taking advantage of a couple early miscues from Union. They threw an interception on their second possession on the first play. That led to a second score from Camas. And then at the end of the first half, down 21-0, Union was able to march the ball down to get in the red zone. But on the final play, before Camas kneeled down, Union threw an interception in the end zone. Camas then came back and scored on the first possession of the second half, but that was the last time Camas scored. They had a 28-0 lead, and then Union started putting points on the board. They got 14 points and then another interception in the end zone, and then just the inability to punch it in late, and Camas was able to run the clock out after a failed onside kick attempt. So Camas able to hold on, 28-14 win. So that means they have the perfect season in the regular season. They finish number one in the 4A level. Skyview got the win over Heritage tonight as well, so that means they're the number two seed, and Union is a three seed now at the 4A Greater St. Helens League level.
And so then we take a look. I know it's the final night. Everybody's trying to get lined up. The 3A was pretty interesting. Prairie controlled its own destiny, but there were teams locked up all sorts of different ways that could have figured itself out between Kelso, Mountain View, Prairie, and Evergreen. How is the 3A looking?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. The only team that was assured a spot in the 3A playoffs was Evergreen, and Evergreen had a chance to get a share of a league title with a win over Prairie, but Prairie able to get the win 42-14, won pretty easily at McKenzie Stadium tonight. But you have now Prairie in the one seed. Kelso gets a 42-14 win over Hudson's Bay. Funny, it's identical scores there, but Kelso there, by virtue of that, ends up being the two seed. Evergreen is now the three seed. And Mountain View, who didn't have a game on their schedule until Tuesday, actually set up a game against Mountain Lake Terrace, beat them 26-0, but all for naught. Mountain View, for the first time in a long time, out of the 3A playoffs and not going to play in crossover week. So they're on the outside looking in because they weren't playing a league game. Everything was in the fate of the other teams, and Prairie's win knocked them out. So Mountain View, after winning five straight 3A Greater St. Helens League titles, now on the outside of the playoffs.
2A, Hockenson still ranked way up there in the top 10 rankings. Still needed to beat Ridgefield, though, to lock things up. There with 2A action, you had Washougal with an interesting one. Columbia River playing out of conference. How are things looking at the 2A level for the Greater St. Helens League?
So I still haven't seen a final for the Hockenson game, but last I saw, they had a 40-12 lead over Ridgefield. That was early in the fourth quarter. So that game still ongoing, but it looks like Hockenson's going to get that win. And the way it laid out was Washougal had one of the two secure spots. They knew that they were going to be the three seed regardless of what happened at the 2A level. The interesting thing was, you mentioned Columbia River playing a non-league contest. Columbia River lost to Woodland last week, and that brought Woodland kind of back from the dead and put them in the playoff picture. So Columbia River was just a spectator waiting to see what happened, and they became really big fans of Mark Morris playing against Woodland, and Mark Morris took care of business for Columbia River. They got a 28-0 win over Woodland, and that means Woodland out, Columbia River in at that four spot, assuming that Hockenson hangs on with that 40-12 lead. Hockenson will be the one seed, Ridgefield the two seed, and then the Washougal Panthers will be the four seed. Columbia River, just for the record, they were playing Clarkston tonight. They did lose 35-20 in their contest.
And then in the Trico League, Le Center, ranked number six in the state, controlled its own destiny but still needed a victory tonight.
Yeah, Castle Rock's been a really tough team all year, and this was another matchup for the one and two spot. So the other team that we knew was in the third seed is Kingsway Christian. We knew that they had secured the third seed at the Trico level coming into this week. So regardless of what happened there, they did get the win 42-7 over Seton Catholic. But the big battle was Le Center at Castle Rock, and the Wildcats eke out a victory 42-39. Le Center's your one seed, Castle Rock your two seed, and Kingsway Christian your three seed at the Trico level.
So how long usually will it take? When will we know actual matchups? I know there's a couple of games around the state of Washington that are being played on Saturday for some scheduling purposes that affect playoff seeding, but when do we expect to know matchups, dates, times, locations, all of those things?
So we'll know matchups before we know anything else. It looks like Olympia will be Camas's opponent. I haven't gotten into the weeds to figure out who everybody's playing. I was trying to figure out where the seeding would be for everything. But I do know, just because we were kind of keeping an eye on things with Camas, that they'll be playing Olympia next week here at Doc Harris Stadium. So it'll be kind of a shakeout over the rest of tonight and tomorrow, because a couple games being played tomorrow, who everybody's playing, and then everything will be settled by early next week, and then we'll figure out where Buck and I will go to broadcast for one of these games hosted over here in Southwest Washington.
No question. And then, of course, you're right back at it tomorrow, Center and Seat, 9 a.m., kicks off our coverage leading up to Oregon and USC at 5 from the Coliseum. What do you guys have on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be interesting because you've got Washington playing Utah and you've got Oregon playing USC, both opportunities, I think, for potential upsets when you look at, you know, people expecting or hoping to see Oregon, Utah playing for a Pac-12 championship. Also, interesting game. See if the Beavs can get to 500 for the first time in November in a very long time. I think 2012 was the last time they were at 500 or better in November, and they're playing against an Arizona team that just fired their offensive coordinator. But I'm going to try to trick Will into talking as much as we can about what happened in the World Series, because that was quite the series. So I'm just going to try to trick him into talking baseball, because for me, that's fun.
All righty. Luke Anderson, you'll hear him. You guys will actually be doing the Power Runs Game of the Week next week over here, as I will be on 910. The Pilots basketball season starting, they will be down at the Galen Center at USC. So we will have a little flip-flop next week. You'll have a Southwest Washington playoff game right here on the Fan. So good luck with that. And tune in tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for Center and St.
Well, see everybody in Southwest Washington. We do read the letters, and you want us on 1080 The Fan. We'll be there for you, and we'll bump swag over to 910. You're welcome.
There you go, Luke Anderson. Thanks so much, buddy.
Yep, have a great night, guys. We'll see you at Big's Chicken.
Oh, yes, we will see you at Big's Chicken. It was wonderful for our pregame meal
excellent.
That we had there. Just literally a mile down the road here from Beaverton High School. So everything working out well there. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have the scores. We just about got all the finals, 5A, 6A, a level as they are rolling in. Mike Lynch of a scoreboard update. We'll talk a little recruiting and set things up for the playoff run from for these teams in Oregon. Get a little thought on if there is. I can't remember a year when it's been more wide open, but Tigard with that victory over Tualatin would appear, if there is an odds-on favorite, it would be them at this point with the regular season wrapping up. We'll come back at the top of the hour with all the scores here. It's the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart, Andrew Nemec back here at Beaverton High School. I think we're the last ones here. The maintenance guy came and literally told us to lock the door and turn out the lights when we were done.
Yeah, I mean, it's still...
He wanted to go home.
You know what? It's still better hospitality than when I covered a game at Liberty. They have a fence around their whole stadium. They locked me out. It's like an 8-foot-high fence. They turned out all the lights and locked me in the stadium. I literally had to climb an 8-foot fence and jump over it with my laptop to survive. So this is still nicer than Liberty.
And, we're inside. The windows are closed.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Are you still...
The company's not great, but other than that, I can't complain, Swag.
Well, I just want to make sure you're warm enough. I got another coat. I got pants that I don't need.
Dude, you're in shorts. That's a you thing. It's not that I'm...
It's not that
I'm
cold.
Weak. I don't have a jacket on. I have a sweater and a pair of jeans, and you're acting like I'm so soft. You're in a pair of plaid shorts, man.
Yeah.
Come on. This is more of a you thing than a me thing.
Well, it's time to get the drum corps thing going. Yes, wow. It's been a long regular season. There's the drum corps. They stuck around for us. And let's get into the scores. As always, we begin with the top 10 at the 6A level. You heard from Will Darkins, a shootout there. Or not a shootout, but a close affair. Number one Tigard holding off a challenge from number two Tualatin, 23-21. So the Tigers go undefeated, 9-0, the only undefeated team at the 6A level this year. Tualatin falls to 7-2, but I can't imagine them. I would think their ranking would go up in the OSAA. Weird math.
Man, I would hope so. They were they were in the bottom half of the top 10. The OSA website has crashed, so we won't know for a while. Everybody's trying to see their seating. But when we talk about this year, we've said there are four or six teams that could win the state title this year. Tigard, Tualatin, Lake Oswego, West Lynn, and then the two private schools, Central Catholic and Jesuit. Those are the six teams that kind of pass the eye test. Guess who the favorite is after tonight? The Tigard Tigers. They are talented. It'll be interesting to see if they can finish with an undefeated season.
The team I think you might need to watch out for the most are the West Lynn Lions, a 52-7 win over Oregon City. If they don't beat themselves with turnovers and penalties, that passing offense might be rivaling and even a little bit superior to what we saw from Carson Budke in Beaverton tonight. We saw Jesuit take them out of their game. A 52-7 win for the Lions. Lake Oswego wins the Civil War there. Battle of the Lake, 41-17 over the Pacers. A lot of Casey Philkins. The question that we had seen them a couple of times, was the transfer quarterback J.J. Wooden going to open up the passing game? And in the times that we saw him, they just weren't all on the same page. And Steve Corey, he's got no problems running it 50 times a game. We've seen him go both ways depending on he can play to his personnel as well as any head coach in the league and still come up with a unique and creative ways to move the football.
You know, there are very few coaches who like to lose by a lot, and the coaches who aren't used to it hate it the most. Steve Corey, after getting blasted by Tualatin, says, to heck with trying to stay balanced. We're going to run Wildcat with Casey Philkins. They did it most of the night tonight. J.J. Wooden threw, I believe, just three passes. He was 3 for 3 and threw a touchdown pass, but they are a predominantly run team, and that will be potentially their kryptonite in the state playoffs. But it worked tonight. They beat Lake Ridge, and if you're going to put the ball in one guy's hands and everybody's going to know and he still has to be productive, Casey Philkins isn't a bad choice. Kid's pretty amazing.
Cade Wisher's not a bad choice either. We saw him do a number on the Beaverton Beavers tonight, 42-24. Wisher finishing with 175 yards, three touchdowns on the ground, caught a 42-yard touchdown pass as well. The Crusaders and the Beavers both 7-2 on the season, look to be hosting at least the first two rounds of the playoffs. Number 6 Central Catholic in the crossover game for the Mount Hood title. No problems with Clackamas, 48-7. Cavaliers just 4-4 on the year. It'll be interesting to see where they fit. They might be on the road, quite possibly, in the first round of the playoffs. They played one fewer game than everybody else. That won't help you in the rankings. They've got the personnel. They've got plenty of firepower and talent, certainly offensively. For whatever reason, with the new head coach, Coach Drake, it just all hasn't quite fit together yet.
Yeah, we went to their game and saw multiple personal foul penalties. I was kind of discouraged by that, talked about it on the podcast, and you usually do hear back. I didn't hear a peep, but others did, and the response was, he's exactly right. There's some real issues internally here. They have some issues, and they have some issues with leadership. They have some issues with behavior on the team. They need to get things figured out, and you never like to call anybody out by name, so we will not by any stretch on this show, but clearly there are issues at Clackamas. But, hey, credit to Central Catholic. We've talked about this group being a special group, this class of 2020, ever since they were young kids, winning a national title in middle school. Yes, a national title in middle school. The goal has been, let's keep this nucleus together, all go to the same high school, and win a state title. Central Catholic's got a shot to do that this year. It's not going to be easy, but they've got a shot with guys like Elijah Elliott, Cade Knight, and Silas Starr, Calvin Souders, Miles Jackson, and the like. A talented group.
Sherwood Bowman, ranked 8th, come in flying under the radar after a slow start. They finished 7-2, 49-13 win over Century to win the Pacific League. Number 9, Aloha, at last check, had a 48-37 lead over Southridge. They still need to win that game to make sure they secure that third automatic seed out of the Metro League. Sunset beat Westview 41-15. Sunset will get an at-large bid if they can't sneak in and grab that third automatic spot.
Well, we have a winner for worst headline of 2019, and it belongs to Oregon Live, unfortunately. In our preview content, one of our headlines read, is this the year Southridge tops Jesuit for the Metro League title? Jesuit's one of the top 5 teams in the state. Southridge did not win a game in the Metro League. Not real sure how that snuck past our editors, but clearly not a good call. Jesuit did not win it outright this year. They're going to have to share it with Aloha and Beaverton, but a far cry from an outright Southridge title.
And number 10, Sheldon, has come a long way since we saw them go 0-3 at Westland earlier this year. They finished 5-4, a 42-32 win over Grants Pass. You hope that they have enough healthy bodies, and if Coach Line there has had to refigure out his team seemingly in the middle of the season. PIL, you heard from Rashad Grant, no problems with Lincoln, 51-13. They win the PIL title. Jefferson, a 46-0 win over Franklin. If Roosevelt beats Madison, then Roosevelt, Jefferson, Grant, your three automatic teams from the PIL. Metro League Sunset with a 41-15 win over Westview. Sunset will certainly get an at-large bid coming out of the Metro League. Pacific League, Liberty, a 45-14 win over McMinnville. That gets them an automatic berth. Newburgh wins the conference 42-0. They shut out Glencoe. And then in the Mount Hood League, a wild one. Barlow beats Reynolds 29-26, so Barlow will get an automatic berth. Reynolds should be in as a at-large team. Greater Valley League, Mountain View 49-19 over Bend. West Salem 47-21 over Sprague, so the Titans get an automatic berth. McNary 35-15 over South Salem. So once again, they go 0-5, they win their last four, and McNary will get an automatic berth out of the league.
I don't know. This McNary team is a senior-laden group. They're led by Oregon State linebacker commit Junior Walling, and this was a year where they thought they were a top 12 to 15 team in the state. They came out flat. They started out 0-5. You did it last year, but your excuse was that you were a pretty young team. This year, it's all seniors, and they had some very winnable games. An ugly, ugly start for McNary. The most disappointing start to the season all year for any team in the state, but they once again bounce back, and you hope they enter this playoffs as a different team, a smarter team, a more seasoned team than the one that began the year.
Black and Blue Bowl down at Spiegelberg Stadium, North Medford, South Medford, and it was all Black Tornado, 52-21. They will be a team to keep an eye on. They were in and out of the top 10 throughout the regular season. They play hard-nosed football for certain, so they will not be an easy out in the bracket. Two non-league games, Mountainside, a 21-10 win over Summit. The Mustangs, I believe, will get an automatic berth in the first playoff run for Mountainside since they joined the Metro League. And Canby, congratulations to the Cougars after a slow start. They get a couple of wins to end the year, a 42-15 win over Roseburg.
And we talked about it before the year that was maybe the best hire of a new coach in the entire state of Oregon. Canby gone almost 2 years without a win, and they aren't drowning in Doman Brothers anymore. It's getting harder to win in Canby. We're running out of Domans. And Jimmy Joyce, the former offensive coordinator here at Beaverton, wins the last two games of the year, a winning streak to end the season, something to build on for Canby. That program's going to get better. Coach Joyce, maybe the best first-year coach in the entire state of Oregon.
5A top 10, number one Thurston, cruising past Ritchie, 59-7. As much as there's not a clear-cut favorite at the 6A level, Thurston is a runaway favorite at the 5A level. The defending champions, they have blown everybody out for the most part this season. So we'll see, because of the game of import tonight was number 2 West Albany, number 4 Silverton, both undefeated for the Mid-Willamette League title. And the Bulldogs get the Foxes 28-21. So that will be the question, those two teams in there, because that league plays all inside the league. They don't play any non-league games. So the Bulldogs there trying to recapture the glory of the Lacoste brother age.
So we've seen this, right, where there was a 5A favorite that should just absolutely run away with it a few years ago, and that was a Sherwood team that everybody thought they were at. Their average margin of victory was like 42 points. They got to the state title game, and West Albany was the team that shocked them, stunned them. They will have to have a similar level upset to beat Thurston, but they're number 2, and they are the team that potentially could pull it off. We'll see.
Number 3, Crater. The Comets go 8-1, a 48-0 shutout of Churchill. Surprise of the night, we mentioned it earlier, number 9, Park Rose, goes to number 5, Wilsonville, and knocks off the Wildcats 28-19. They win the Northwest Oregon Conference. Congratulations to Keenan Lowe and his Broncos, a 6-2 season.
A great quote from Keenan Lowe after this game. There's a video of it. They haven't been able to say this since we were wearing leather helmets. The Park Rose Bronco are conference champs. Congrats to Coach Keenan Lowe.
That is awesome. Congratulations to them, and best wishes for them in the playoffs. It's just a 16-team field. They will be hosting a first-round game. Elsewhere, number 10, Scappoose, falling at number 7, Pendleton. They're at the Rodeo Fairgrounds, 41-21 the final there, but both those teams moving on to the round of 16. Number 10, North Bend, a 68-35 winner over at Willamette. Now, there were two play-in games out of the Northwest Conference. So there's the East-West Division. This is the Portland metro area teams up the gorge a little bit and the Columbia River on both sides. So the three seeds hosted the four seeds from each other division. The winner goes to the playoffs. LaSalle beats Forest Grove 27-14. They are through. Hillsboro beats Hood River 34-6. The Spartans are through to the playoffs. Congratulations to both those teams.
Yeah, I covered Hillsboro there for about a solid year, and everybody always says, you know, with recruiting, I almost write too much, 4, 5, 6 stories a day with all the stats and everything. I did that for Hillsboro, so Oregon Live was just blanketed in Hillsboro stories. People said, why does everybody care so much about Hillsboro? I love that community. They're very passionate about their sports, so congrats to the Spartans.
4A, we had play-in games tonight, so the top 8 seeds got byes, and we have finals from the Dalles knocking off Valley Catholic 58-13. Estacada blows out Sweet Home 52-6. Tillamook was facing Elmira. Crook County was visiting North Valley. And we are waiting for finals from those schools. But Banks was the team that was already through. They are the number one seed, the defending champions, and Dusty Hera and that crew hoping to go back-to-back.
Yeah, and this isn't like the Thurston team. The Thurston team at the 5A level, they're the defending champs, but they return everybody. This Banks team's probably lost three of their top five individual players. Just a great coaching staff. I always joke, it just means they have a great running back and receivers coach, to give Dusty the shout-out. But really a well-coached program, a great program, and a great community. Congrats to Banks.
So those are the finals as we have them. They are still coming in, a few straggling, and so the OSAA will continue to crunch. Apparently the servers are running on overdrive there with the OSAA, so you'll probably have to wait till tomorrow morning to sort everything out and fill in those brackets. We'll take a final break. We'll come back. We have a couple of recruiting notes with Andrew Nemec here that we'll get to, and then we'll set up your weekend for you. Give our final thoughts on this regular season that we witnessed here in 2019 in the state of Oregon. We continue on. It's the Les Schwab Tires postgame scoreboard show on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart, Andrew Nemec back here wrapping things up from Beaverton High School. The regular season coming to a close tonight. An impressive showing from Jesuit here against a Beaverton Beavers squad that was staring down at a possible outright title in the Metro League for the first time in nearly two decades. And they withstood a bumpy start for them, a couple of turnovers early, but the defense held. Beaverton could not ever take advantage and really put the screws to Jesuit, forced them to be uncomfortable. 42-24, the final for Jesuit. Tualatin falls to Tigard 23-21 in a barn burner between the top two teams in the state. And for the Three Rivers League title, West Linn, Lake Oswego with big victory, Central Catholic with big victory. So those top teams that you have referred to, for the most part, taking care of business tonight. Obviously, we knew one of those favorites with the Tiger-Tualatin game was going to fall, but a closely contested game, 23-21. I'm sure if those two teams meet again, it could easily go the opposite way.
Yeah, it was Tiger-Tualatin at Tigard, and Tigard won by two. If it's at Tualatin, maybe Tualatin wins by two. I mean, this really is going to be a year that it comes down to who executes the best. I mean, we've seen some scores that don't, frankly, match. We've seen West Linn beat Tualatin by two scores. Lake Oswego beat West Linn. So you'd think, okay, well, Lake Oswego should therefore beat
and Tualatin. House Lake
and then
Oswego
Tualatin,
in their building.
Yeah, yep. Bull raced them. I mean, it's going to come down to who executes better, but I do think it's a very clear-cut top six, and I've said that since week two or week three. I drew the line at six teams. Last year, at week two or three, I drew the line at four teams. Those four teams were our four semifinalists. So I have a decent track record. I'm not just doing this for the sake of doing it. And this year, really early on, we said Tigard, Tualatin, West Linn, Lake Oswego, Central Catholic, Jesuit, in no particular order. It's going to come down to who's healthiest and who executes the best and plays the best football. week in, week out for a three-week, four-week stretch. And I still think that's true. I mean, Tigers, the slight favorite, they beat Tualatin by two tonight. I don't necessarily think that it's a slam dunk if they play again that they'd beat Tualatin, or if they played Westland and Westland had a great game and Ethan Coleman was slinging it, that they couldn't beat them. I do think Tigard's the favorite, but we've seen years where it's like almost an eye roll where we go, well, gosh, it's going to be this team or these two teams and the rest of it's kind of pointless. That's not the case this year. It's going to be pretty good.
No, it should be pretty exciting. Also, the playoffs provide a platform for players to vault themselves personally as it relates to the next level and scholarship opportunities, whether you're a senior and a late bloomer, whether you're a junior or sophomore with a lot of excitement about you, but maybe you've only, you know, played one or two real games. So once you get into the playoffs, all eyes are on you. Who are some of the names that you're going to be focusing on from a recruiting standpoint to see what they can do when the pressure is on and when the opponent is just as talented?
Well, I mean, with the way recruiting goes now, you're looking at 2021s, and we have been almost since summer. You do hope a guy like Tualatin's Luke Marion with a deep run potentially pops. He's the son of an NFL, a former NFL All-Pro, Brock Marion, who played with the Dallas Cowboys in that defensive backfield with Deion Sanders. I think he made four or five Pro Bowls. I mean, he's a big-time, big-time player. Luke is kind of that level athlete. He's a freaky athlete. He just kind of hasn't totally put the production together. So he's kind of a late bloomer. Richard Kennewell from Clackamas is the biggest head scratcher in Oregon in a number of years. I have no idea why he doesn't have more offers. I think he's a Mountain West outside linebacker prospect and then a big sky level wide receiver. So you'd think whether it's wide receiver or linebacker that somebody would go on him. He has no offers. And even to the point of like, okay, listen, have you been suspended from school or your grades? There's nothing. There's not anything. And he's just kind of one of those unfortunate kids who he broke his hand earlier this year. And when it was so crucial to have senior film to prove it, he didn't. He didn't go to a lot of the showcase events. And because of that, he's kind of slipping through the cracks. And then you look at the next few years, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news because I love Oregon high school football, but it is bleak over the next few years. We're talking about programs ahead of time, and you can kind of get a feel. Coaches will tell you we're kind of getting a feel that teams like Jefferson and Mountainside, because they're just returning most of their talent, have chances to be top 10 programs next year. Not necessarily because they're so good and it's their time. Central Catholic's supposed to be down. Jesuits taking a step back. Clackamas is already down. Tigard loses their huge nucleus. Lake Oswego loses Casey Filkins. We all know how important that's going to be. So many of these teams, and everybody says, well, you know, there's always a nucleus that steps up. It happens all the time. Yes, but the head coach knows about it. It's like, hey, listen, we've got sophomores and juniors that are pretty good. Everybody's going, well, it's not going to be us next year. And when everybody's saying it's not going to be us next year, that's a problem, and that's what's going on right now. It's going to be a bleak few years in the state of Oregon where you know, like a few years ago, there was an Oregon City team with Trevon Bradford and Z. Dennis Lee, and they had no shot. They were an afterthought in the state title race. They were talented, but the state was so good that they were not even a team we talked about for a state title. They would be an overwhelming state title favorite next year. It's just a really, really rough year for Oregon high school football.
Ducks and Beavers both on the road this weekend, so obviously not tons of, you know, we don't have the guest list, people coming to Corvallis and to Eugene, but we did have the note the Beavers got a commitment from the number 8 JC cornerback in the country, 6'3", Alton Julian. So you hear 6'3", and immediately Brandon Browner pops into my mind.
They'll hope
that that's the case there. What else is going on with the Ducks and the Beavers at this point? The recruiting calendar about a month out. A little more than a month before the first signing day.
Well, the Alton Julian commitment is really more of the first domino to fall. He has a cousin, Nashawn Wright, who's already at Oregon State. Alton Julian took his visit, committed to Colorado as a Colorado commit. He decommitted right after that visit, and then, of course, this week, yesterday, commits to Oregon State. Why that's telling and why there's potentially more news on the horizon. Alton Julian and Nashawn Wright are cousins. Nashawn Wright's brother is Rajon Wright, who's the number four junior college corner in the entire country. Depends on which rankings you use. he visited Oregon State alongside Alton Julian, and they all, and it's like, I don't know why kids do this sometimes. They all say, well, we really want to play together in college. Well, doesn't that mean you're committing?
We
can connect the dots here. Nashon Wright's already there. Alton Julian's locked into his commitment to Oregon State, and Rajon Wright's going, I'm not really committed, but it's our goal to play together. Well, unless you're going to get them to leave school, it's pretty well determined. That would be a phenomenal. He's also 6'3". So suddenly you've got either side of your corners, and they already got Ronald Harge as well, who's a JC corner, who's 6'1". So their depth chart is potentially 6'3 corners, 6'3 corners, 6'1 corner, all with high-level FBS offers. And suddenly you look at this Jonathan Smith program and you go, you know, they're not recruiting real well at the high school level. It's not a very good crop, to be honest. But you add in those JC guys, which is what they need anyway, and it's a good group. They've got two of the top five junior college defensive ends in the country. And if Rajon Wright commits, they'll have two of the top eight JC corners in the country. And what do you want in those corners now? You want size and length. And they're two of the longest. I mean, it's a really nice job to plug and play on that defensive side of the ball. They're still going to want to add a grad transfer quarterback or a JC quarterback for sure. So there's still maybe a headliner to go. But certainly, if you're going into this year, you go, man, we've got to get better with some JC talent on defense. They did it.
There you go. What are we looking forward to with the podcast and for the recruiting show next Thursday at 7?
Man, I can never predict. We'll go over the visitors. we'll go over the visitors. We're going to preview the Primetime 40, an event held by Reggie Walker. He's got a number of kids coming to that event. He's created a showcase event for basketball, and basketball was left for dead prospect wise since Peyton Pritchard's graduated. Only two players in Oregon in the last, so that's like what, 4.5-5 years, classes have been D1, high level D1 prospects. Kamaka Hepa went to Texas. Marcus Sahonis went to Washington. They were both at Jefferson. So outside of Jefferson in the last 4 years, there's been no D1 basketball prospect in the entire state. That's changing. Nathan Biddle at Crater High School, he's a 5-star basketball recruit. Ben Gregg at Clackamas High School is a 4-star recruit. Marquise Cook, they all call him Mookie. I always screw up his name. That is his name. I think it's Marquise Cook. Out of Jefferson, they're talking about him being a top 10 recruit in the nation, Mookie is. So there's some big-time basketball talent coming up. We'll preview some of that. Also, we got to get to 5-star linebacker Noah Sully. Just went on his visit. Had a great time. I had a long interview with his dad on the phone. It's such a good interview. I'm just going to run every quote
there
he had. But we're looking forward to having that come out.
There you go. So, again, check the podcast at the Les Schwab podcast at 1080thefan.com. And then Thursday night, 7 o'clock, following Primetime Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. I just want to take a moment here. You've alluded to it in the podcast. The guys have mentioned it. I didn't want to say anything while we were continuing to do our regular Friday night broadcast. But, yes, it is true. This will be our final broadcast covering Oregon high school football for this season. As we started to plan for the fall, the holidays, with everything that's going on here with the Fan and 910 ESPN Portland, with our coverage with the Ducks, with the Pilots and men's basketball season starting up at the end of September, as I normally do, get in touch with the OSAA to start thinking about dates, times, how are things looking up planning-wise, and did not receive the timely responses that we've been accustomed to over the years. At that point, realized we were informed that the OSAA decided to enter into an exclusive broadcasting rights agreement with another station here in the market for the playoffs, and we discovered that we were not going to be allowed to have the access to the playoffs that we normally would. At that point, presented the information to 1080 the Fan and Intercom management, and it was determined that it would not be in our best interest, and a conflict of interest, quite frankly, to promote their playoff product without being given the consideration to do the games as we have done them in previous years. And it's disappointing on all aspects. This was a private agreement. There was no public forum. There was no invitation directly to the Fan to be able to participate in this, which we certainly would have taken the meeting and the opportunity to want to do it, as we have done for over a decade. here all the way through the state championship game. So it is unfortunate. We are disappointed greatly that those, and I don't know specifically who the decision maker or makers are that came to that. So I don't want to give out any individual names that would be in error as to where to point the finger. But certainly, if you have further questions, we encourage you to contact the OSAA and inquire how this came about. But as I've been doing this for over a decade, the stories, the Will Stories, the Sam Chitties, the Paul Weatheroy Juniors, the Nick Sizzicks from the first round right through the state championship round, the playoffs are a wonderful platform, and it should be about these kids. We know it's still a business. We're a part of that. We have rights deals with the University of Portland, with the University of Oregon. We understand how they work, but the process here is where we feel disappointed that, you know, there wasn't the respect we thought we had earned and were held in regard with for every Friday night for over a decade, bringing regular season and playoff high school football broadcast to you. I want to thank all the coaches, all of the athletic directors, all of the support staffs at the schools, all of the parents that reach out to us on a weekly basis and appreciate what we do on Friday nights. And again, we're disappointed that for some reason this season it's not going to work out for us to bring that to you in the playoffs. I'm going to be plenty busy. Pilot season starts tomorrow night, and we'll be there for the exhibition game next Friday. I'm going to be in Los Angeles. The Pilots are at USC. So right here on The Fan, you'll actually hear a Southwest Washington district crossover game. Ryan Buckley, Luke Anderson, who have done a great job in Southwest Washington. We'll have a playoff game for you here on Friday night next week, depending on what those matchups and times are. So that's unfortunately where things stand. I wish I had more information for you, but unfortunately the OSAA has not been willing to share exactly what the process is that they've gone down. So I don't want to do that. I don't, again, want to point the finger at any one individual without knowing full well how those decisions and who those decisions are being made by.
Yeah, and I think the disappointing thing for us, and it sort of speaks to our general point, is we have such good relationships with so many people in the state that we found out about it. It has been made very clear to us that we were not going to be told until we were told at that round, when we've already scheduled it, that we were no longer invited to an event. So, that's the hardest part, is not being transparent about the decision. We'd love to know and have been involved in the process, but to learn only because we have the relationships that we do, that, hey, you guys should look into this because there's a possibility you're not going to be involved. It's like, wait, what? And only because we asked the questions were we told. Otherwise, we'd be teasing playoff games right now, yeah, and be finding out next week that we weren't allowed. So that's really tough and really discouraging, and again, speaks to your point that we had thought we'd earned a little more respect than that, given a decade of coverage and the passion that you and I and everyone at 1080 has for local high school sports.
And again, there are individuals at the OSAA who have been more than supportive and appreciative of what we've been doing. So I don't want to lump everybody in here, but ultimately it is the organization's decision to go down the road that they are. So, again, disappointing. We wish all the coaches and players the best of luck and the best of health as they move forward in their playoff pursuits. And as my schedule allows, I'll be looking in and checking out, you know, if there's a game close by and I don't have an obligation. You might even see me hanging out there. So if you do see me, please come up and say hi. And
he'll be the guy in shorts.
I'll be the guy in shorts. Yeah, that's how you can find me. So this wraps things up for us. It's been another great season with you, sir, my friend. It's been great. Continue to listen to the recruiting show Thursday nights at 7, taking you all the way through signing day 1, signing day 2, and everything else that comes in between.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Oregon might finish with back-to-back number one recruiting classes. When Mario Cristobal took over, they'd never done it before. They might have the number one class in the Pac-12 for back-to-back years, and Oregon State might end up with its best recruiting class in a decade after finishing with its worst recruiting class ranking-wise ever last year. So both programs really improving. Great to see.
So a lot of people to thank here. Mike Bull, the athletic director, Bob Boyer, head coach, Ken Potter, head coach of Jesuit as well, for their help with their hospitality. Jeff McGinley was actually our remote engineer out here getting us set up. Dakota still taking some classes. He had some finals and some studying to do, so thanks for McGinley to pry himself away from his busy schedule to help us out. As always, we want to thank Luke Anderson, Rashad Taylor, and Will Darkins for their reports. Mike Lynch all season long back in the fan studios holding down the fort. I want to thank Dakota throughout the season as well. He was our regular remote engineer. And, again, all the athletic directors and coaches who helped us out throughout the season to bring this to you. The weekend, plenty of football right here tomorrow. Center and Saint at 9, Roundtable Replay 11, Coaches Show Replay at noon, 1 o'clock game day. Dusty Hara, Anthony Newman in the studio. We'll turn it over to Jerry, Jorgie, and Joey at 3 o'clock. Kickoff Ducks and USC at 5 o'clock. And then Andy Johnson, Dirt, will be with you around 9:30 for the postgame show. Over on 910 at 1 o'clock, we'll have the Utah-Washington game for you. And then at 7 o'clock, I will be at the Child Center over on 910 ESPN Portland for the Pilots exhibition game against George Fox as they kick off the 2019-2020 season. Tomorrow, or on Sunday, Seahawks-Buccaneers pregame 11 after Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad. Kickoff at 1:05. We'll have an NFL doubleheader for you over on 910 ESPN Portland as well. That'll wrap things up for us tonight. Our final score, once again, Jesuit 42, Beaverton 24. For Andrew Nemec, I'm Jason Swigard. Have a very good night.
Red 18, hut, hike!
This has been the Les Schwab Tires Postgame Scoreboard Show. Join us tomorrow morning for College Game Day, the Sinner and the Saints Tailgate Show, Oregon Ducks Football, and the top national college games. We're back next week for high school football action, brought to you by Power Rents, your local Les Schwab Tire Center, by Conrad Lumber, Biggs Chicken, and by Sureway Building Centers. Thanks for listening to Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan, the radio.com app, and 1080thefan.com.